One, two, three, four. It's Cody and Chris today. And it's a Monday. But we're happy to be in studio with Mr. Dan Horrigan.
Spoils of Akron, the Spoils of Akron podcast.
So, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Spoils of Akron podcast. My name is Cody Stanley, and I'm here with my co-host,
Chris Miller.
And this is a podcast about the art, culture, and eccentric residents of the Rubber City, isn't it, Chris?
It sure is. We have a special series we're doing the next couple weeks.
We do. Chris, tell us a little bit about that series.
We're getting political, but only in the sense where we're having some prominent candidates for mayor on, that we're not necessarily going to talk about this stuff that all the other media is talking about. We're getting to know these folks as people. So today we have the one and only Dan Horrigan.
Dan Horrigan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
Oh, we're really excited you're here. Definitely. You know, one of the first things we like to ask all our guests whenever they come on, this is like my favorite question. We got away from it, but we're getting back to it. This question is, why Akron? Now, I know that's kind of a loaded question, but what we mean by that is kind of like, what has kept you here and what is going to keep you here? Like, what do you love about this city?
One of the first questions I ever got in an interview was, give one word to describe Akron, and I can only think of one, it's home. And it resonates. It's a big, small town. It's a small, big town. It has so much going for it. Its residents, its businesses. And I've traveled a little bit when I was right out of college. I got to live in a couple other states, and I have an uncle that always told me, you'll always come back. We always do. And you want to promote that message because you do want people to come back and you do want people to stay. It's a great city. It offers so much. You can't help but love it. Like I said, it's always been home, and I want to make it home for the rest of my life.
And Akron has a very unique character. You know, we're proud of Akron. We're also, some people are not as proud of Akron because a lot of my peers have moved away over the years. I grew up here, was raised here. And have you seen the same thing, being an Akron guy? Have you seen some peers move along to other areas?
I have, and sometimes it's disappointing, and I can understand sometimes it's for economic reasons and they get a better job. But quite frankly, you know, many have moved back to the area too. I know the population doesn't necessarily show it, but there's a lot of people that do come back. And I think the more that you offer those reasons to stay, and not to get, you know, campaign or anything, but anybody needs a reason to stay, and whether it's economic or whether they want to be closer to their family and their parents, and Akron has always had that very strong heart. It beats pretty strong.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we see it quite frequently. I mean, people come and they go, and they always come back is what it seems like, and that is such a cool thing about this city that I don't know if a lot of other cities can say. You know, I don't know if a lot of people I guess I haven't really been to a lot of city or a lot of other places, but at least I know here, people are always coming back for some reason. And, you know, our city's bouncing back, I think, definitely.
We call those people boomerangs, right?
Right.
Boomerangs. I see a lot as well.
Yeah, they dip their toe in the water a little bit. And my first job out of college was installing computer systems in auto salvage yards. And I got to travel the country for almost a year. I was home for about 2 weeks. And I could not tell you how bad I missed the place, mm-hmm. how bad I missed Akron. You know, because you get on a plane, you go somewhere for a month. Get on another plane, go somewhere for another month. And, I mean, it was okay for a 24-year-old, but it wasn't necessarily something that I wanted to do the rest of my life. Because I know that I wanted to stay here. I wanted to raise a family. And you know, God willing, I did. And, you know, I'm living a dream. Being able to stay here in my hometown, raise my kids, it's fantastic.
And one of the things I found, Dan, I traveled a little bit from my previous job, but always lived in this area, but I find that wherever I go, people are pretty much the same. It's just the scenery is different. So people leave here thinking they'll be a different person in another city, and they realize they're the same person they were here. And there's so much good going on here. You know, we have a great cost of living. We are right-sized, as you said. It's a big, small town, as you mentioned as well. And so as you've traveled, as the computer repair guy, what are some of the interesting places you visited, or what are some of your favorite cities Akron you've seen?
This was 30-some-odd years. This is close to 30 years ago, but I did get to travel to Anchorage, Alaska, and spend 2 months, which is a wonderful city. Arizona, Florida, Texas, a lot on the East Coast, Virginia, a lot of those places. And like I said, I couldn't wait to come back home. If I was crisscrossing home, you know, I stopped to see my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. And it was always fun, just like I said, to come back home. And you bring something, you bring you bring ideas with you, and you think, well, wow, that's kind of neat how they did those things. And after I got involved, you remember some of those things that you saw that other cities are doing, and you try to incorporate those at some particular point, because new ideas are always good. So when people do leave and they do come back, those ideas, I think, help. I mean, it's a fresh perspective.
Sure, and we're more of a global society, being that we can digitally connect with anybody around the world, so we can also incorporate those ideas into Akron. As well as, and I will say, because for the Akronists, we do a lot of work in the North Hill area, we have a global society here in Akron. And you know, what do you think about that change that's happened with our refugee immigrant population, our diversity?
Well, I think that's one of the things that make this city even greater. Even Akron has always been a diverse city. When you look at the original immigrant wave settled into North Hill, they eventually expanded. You know, I'm a product of that environment. My grandfather came over in 1918, you know, literally came off a boat and started selling fruit. When you see recently arrived immigrants and the stores that they're starting and the houses that they live in, to me, that just makes the city that much greater. When they can come in and live the American dream and fully incorporate themselves and carve out a niche for themselves, that it's one more addition to the soup. You know, it just makes the soup that much better.
Sure, and they have a number of markets and restaurants and businesses. There's a whole entertainment community surrounding the Nepali people.
Right.
A lot of, you know, just a real strong sense of community there, and it's really amazing to watch.
It also adds a sense of stability on an economic forefront, too. I mean, when you see people living in houses and their kids are going to schools, that takes away a lot of that indecision of, you know, oh, there's an empty house, we need to do this. I mean, they're moving in, they've settled into the areas, and it just makes the area that much richer in tradition.
Sure. And what are some other ways you've seen Akron change over the years, Dan?
Well, if you look at just how the population has moved a little bit too, some neighborhoods have always been, you know, fairly strong. You know, one of the down things is that you do see some of the neighborhoods that are not enjoying some of that success. And that's, I think, that's the key, is that with that connectedness to those neighborhoods, because I think all of our neighborhoods can help each other. We're not necessarily on an island by ourselves. And in promoting that connectedness and that diversity throughout our city, I think helps everybody. And as you break down some of those barriers and those walls, they get to know each other's cultures a little bit better. And I think it just reduces that apprehension and fear. So people don't, you know, they don't mind living in a particular neighborhood because it is more diverse. Because I think it adds to the quality of their life and also their children.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, something I was reading on your website, I'm kind of interested in hearing a little bit more about this. And this is kind of a cool little segue into the neighborhoods. There's this thing about a Highland Square model to send to other neighborhoods in Akron. I want to know what that means.
It's self-named, by the way. and I'll tell you, it had to do with a group that came together in the early 2000s. Then I got elected to council in 99 and started serving in 2000. And the way that Highland Square looked, there was concerns from residents and from business owners that because West Market Street had just redone West Market Street with new street poles and lights and sewers and water connections, and they wanted to see a more vibrant neighborhood, and they had very distinct ideas to how that should look. And when they came together, it was a very organic effort. It came from the bottom up. It wasn't my idea going in there and say, well, we're going to put this there, we're going to put that there. There was an old transmission shop on the corner of North Portage Path and West Market Street, and the city had ended up buying it and remediating the property. They got rid of the oil tanks and things, and Taco Bell wanted to come in. Now, I wasn't on council then, but you know, the residents just didn't feel like having a Taco Bell right there. They sought a petition, and they ended up blocking it. It turned it into a community garden. Well, the property owners in the city and the residents got together and kind of said, you know what, this is what we'd like. We'd like more retail. We need more parking. We'd like to keep the theater. The school needs to stay. How do we connect all those things? Well, things just started snowballing. One of the key things in almost any neighborhood is that the services to be able to provide, especially because there's a lot of elderly in Highland Square too. They needed to be able to go buy groceries. They needed to be able to get prescriptions filled, which is why you see CVS across the street. And I know it's taken a while, but the Mustard Seed Market is just a tremendous anchor to that neighborhood, and it's actually a destination. So when you look at it from 15 years ago to now, to me, that's the Highland Square model, because it started from the ground up. Mm-hmm. You know, they took ownership in it, and they wanted the city to be involved, but not necessarily driving the effort. They drove it, and that made us sharper representatives. It made the city sharper in how they wanted to get things done. And I think you can take that model. In fact, I know you can. You can take that model in any neighborhood business district or any neighborhood, as long as you define it in the right way, and ask them, you know, what do you want to see here and how can we help? And that's, I think that's one of the primary goals of any administration, is to help neighborhoods, because they're all connected too. You have to, when you start to connect them and those businesses and the residents, it just makes, like I said, for a richer city.
Right, and the challenge here is, and I've experienced this with doing media training in Akron for the past 5.5 years, is every neighborhood has its own identity, its own flavor, its own personality, its own character. So you have to engage them all in different ways.
Exactly, you highlight that.
That is a bit of a challenge, wouldn't you agree?
Well, it is, but it's not insurmountable either. I mean, even though there are many business districts, you see bigger, I mean, we've all been to bigger cities in our lives and how, you know, different neighborhoods thrive in different ways. There are models out there, or at least plans out there, to be able to help that. And like I said, the city doesn't necessarily have to be the leader in some of those. We take a risk in some of that. You need to mitigate that risk, and because everybody needs to have skin in the game. You know, residents and business owners, and people are, you want people to invest money because obviously they want people to come there and be a destination spot. Well, that works. It can work anywhere. It's not real complex. There's just many of them in our particular city.
Sure, and people have to show an interest.
Exactly.
They have to show up to meetings. They have to be vocal about it. And that's one thing that Highland Square has going for it, is there are not one, but multiple neighborhood organizations and block clubs. And so they made their voices heard. They wanted the grocery store. They wanted the redevelopment. And it happened.
That's the accountability part of elected service, too. And it's also the transparency part, too. The process that they went through, I mean, everything had to go through zoning. Everything had to, you know, had to fit right into the properties. It had to be a certain number of parking spaces because you have those zoning codes. But if you look at it today, and the people that, you know, the library was end up being shifted and moved, those three anchors stayed. And now, like, if you go up there on a weekend and even during the day, they're literally, you know, they're crossing the street, they're going to movies and down to get ice cream and going over to Chipotle, not to promote one business over another. But they're all, you know, like I said, they're all going there. It made it a destination spot. And like I said, that model I know can be replicated almost anywhere.
Sure, and I go back to North Hill because, you know, we had another event this year, the Better Block, which was really, really cool. And it helped people get actually visualize their imagination, what could be here, what could be on this block. And, you know, there's talk of Kenmore and even one in Cuyahoga Falls. You know, and did you go to the event? And if so, what did you think?
I did.
About
we rode through, but obviously North Hill is home. I grew up there and currently reside there, so I've always taken a strong interest. And even as Highland Square was moving along, a member of the planning department and myself, I was on summer vacation because I was teaching. We went and walked the business district and tried to identify properties that, you know, maybe were being run down a little bit, where the city can help here. And there's a plan out there somewhere to be able to do that. It just takes the engagement, you know, of local businesses, because a lot of those have changed now. Many have been there for a long time, and you want to engage them, but the block that you were talking about is that stretch of North Main Street, and it's all commercial right until you hit like that last second to the last light, then it goes residential. Same with Talmadge Avenue, there's not as many residences anymore, it's a lot of commercial, but they would have a different need. And then you turn down right and go east on Cuyahoga Falls Avenue, that's a whole nother one. Not a whole lot of residents, but a lot of businesses. How you connect all those to make them more walkable, more livable, that all connects in with the school, with the library, and everything else that's a destination spot over there. So they would all kind of need to be at that table to say, how's this going to look? How are we going to master plan this? It's a bigger area, so maybe you chop that up a little bit too. But I'm keenly aware and keenly interested in being able to try to do something for that area also.
Sure. And some people say it's going to be the next Highland Square, but I'd like to say that the neighborhood should be its own thing.
Exactly.
And
right.
Maybe
its own
it's the model, but it should be North Hill and stay North Hill.
And it always has. Everybody, you can have your own identity and still thrive within the bigger environment. And I think that's key to Akron, too, because people do. But as long as we're not trying to live on an island either, where we shut ourselves off, when that's what elevated roadways do, you know, so there's a lot of different things that go into that, too.
Sure, and speaking of that, we had our 500 Plates event here in Akron over the weekend, actually yesterday, and the Innerbelt was temporarily closed off, and it was a success.
I did see the news coverage. I did sign up for a ticket a little bit late and didn't get one. I know there was a standing room only, or a waiting line, a long waiting line. And those are type of events that you could almost do in every neighborhood. And maybe not do 500, but do 200 or 150. And I think that helps with that connectedness to everything else. And when you look at the possibilities of maybe having Route 59 removed or at least altered to where you still keep access to all the key, you know, places that you need to go, downtown, the hospitals, and everywhere else, and what can actually be there, that connects that neighborhood directly west, right back to downtown again. So it makes it bigger. There's so many possibilities. It's hard to keep track of sometimes. But you want to do it with a plan. You can't just say, okay, let's just abandon the roadway and see what happens. There has to be a plan going forward of how that's going to work too.
Sure, and it has to be people and government working together, and
absolutely,
and sort of taking equal responsibility, yeah, as you mentioned earlier. So, you know, our podcast is The Spoils of Akron, so we like to talk about some of our favorite things in Akron, our favorite artists or musicians or places to eat, bars, what have you. So do you have any spoils that you can maybe, you don't necessarily have to, you know, promote one thing over the other.
No.
It could just be general things. But what about Akron do you think makes us, I don't know, reap the rewards of living here?
I'm a big fan of food. I like to, which everybody is. I like to cook even myself. It's something I learned from my mom. You try things and it works and it doesn't work. And if the kids don't eat it, you know, you're not going to make it the next time.
Right.
So it works out pretty good. So I like to try to find different places to eat. And if I wouldn't mention Swenson, since I worked there for about 7 years, I'd get yelled at some particular point. But there are pockets. I mean, there are so many good restaurants, and not necessarily on North Hill. But and if you tried those variety of where you go and what you would order, there are gems in every single neighborhood, which make it, you know, which make the city even, I think, that much more richer and more diverse when you have that. But I do a lot of cycling. I haven't in the last couple of months because I've been a little bit busy, but I've been able to get around a lot, and I have routes that go outside the city and come back through, and I have routes that I'll say it's just an urban 15, so it's 15 miles you try to get around, or an urban, and you get around, and there's so many. When you get around and start knocking on doors, and you start driving by people's houses on a bike, you understand the neighborhoods are absolutely, the housing and the architecture is absolutely beautiful from every aspect of the city. There's just different housing, there's different people, and I think, like I said, that's what makes the city so great.
Yeah, definitely. We agree with that. And so, other than cycling, what other hobbies do you have, or what else do you do?
I do like
for
to
fun?
Golf, like I said, but I haven't been doing the hobbies as of much lately. I also have three kids, and they stay pretty active. They run cross country, they play soccer, so those get us around a lot. I mean, the days start early. It's not like, you know, you roll out at 8 and things get going. The days start early. And they end a little bit later, but that's, to me, adds to the richness of a full life. I mean, there's 24 hours a day. You try to take advantage of, say, 18 of them, and you get your 6 hours of sleep and go from there. But things do keep you busy. My wife also works full-time, so our household is pretty busy, and people are coming and going. You know, my oldest is driving, which is another worry. The middle one's going to start driving, so all of those things, you know, kind of keep you jumping pretty good.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we talked, you know, you got cycling and food. What I want to know, what kind of music do you like? What do you like to do on that end?
And I love music, by the way. It stretches the gamut. I grew up liking, you know, my dad was a product of World War II and grew up doing that area, so we'd always love to listen to the Vera Lynn and all of those songs. But from the 50s on, really, I mean, my favorites, I got into like a lot of the new wave in the 80s and the punk that came up. It was just good music, I thought, when, you know, the Pretenders coming out. Devo is here, just, you know, Psychedelic Furs, Echo and the Bunnymen, all of them. you like that music. And then as favorites are, you know, probably U2 and Bruce Springsteen, local artists too. And like I said, it runs the gamut. I've gotten into a little bit of country, you know, a little bit of the older. Like I said, my station's always tuned to 91.3 though, so at the Summit, because I think they play some pretty good alternative music and pretty good local fare too.
It's a great station.
It is.
Yeah. It really is.
Tell us about, all right, I'm interested. There's a lot of really cool places around Akron where people just want to go to hang out and, you know, public places, parks, all that kind of stuff. Do you have any spot that you just like to kind of go and, you know, clear your mind or anything like that?
Well, kind of hang out a little bit. There's a couple, I guess there's nothing better as far as a, I call them decompression chambers, than a golf course or being on a bike. So if I'm spending some time away, because sometimes it's kind of hard to get that exercise and you want to make sure that you at least get some. As far as local places, there are places downtown. Music I've been to quite a few times, just to, you know, I've had fundraisers there. We've gone there to listen to music. Even baseball stadiums sometimes, you know, with Canal Park, Rubber Duck Stadium, going down there and just enjoying, you know, whether it's a half a game or a third of a game, just to be able to get some of those experiences in. Ice skating rink at the wintertime, taking some of those things, that, you know, because you don't get down there as much as you'd like, but you want to get down there because it is, there's so many people that come down there, and And they're from all over the place, too. It's not like they're just coming from one particular area. They come from all over the county to enjoy that because it's a unique experience.
Yeah, the ice rink really draws in a lot of the greater part of the city. And as a person who works downtown, I see a lot of the same people at some events. And I would like to see more of the general Akron population from some of the far-reaching neighborhoods. And those anchors, like the rubber ducks, like the ice skating, do bring in people from the far reaches.
It's having those opportunities, too, for people to come down there. You know, with the Innerbelt being the way it is, you know how it cuts off the one neighborhood. Maybe people feel like, well, downtown, well, there's no parking. Well, there's so much parking downtown after 5 because they let you park for free anyway on most nights. So there's some of those, I think some of those attitudes that people will think, well, we can't go down there because the crowds are too big. Just try it once. I mean, even with the musical events during the year, when my wife and I have been there, Lock 3, quite a few times in the last 4 or 5 years. Because they really do have some great cover bands. I mean, you sit there and listen. Plus the whole festivals that are downtown, too. Those are unique and rewarding experiences. And the festivals are ones that I've been involved in for, you know, probably about 20 years, whether on a volunteer basis or just going down and enjoying
What festivals have you volunteered to?
Italian American Festival. We would man a beer truck for 3 days, you know, just staff it. And it was fun. It was just, you get to meet a lot of different people. Like I said, but I've been volunteering for that for quite a long time too. I did some as a kid, I played baseball a lot. And so right there on a quarter of Patterson and Cuyahoga Falls Avenue. So about 15 years ago, I started volunteering for the North Akron baseball too. Haven't done as much in the last couple of years, but those are things when you can give back and those, you know, and baseball is one of those sports. It's like, boy, you wish more kids were playing because we have so many facilities to be able to do it. But there are so many other options for kids that to do things during the day, you know, schools become much more difficult. All of those things, you wish, you know, that the fields were filled a little bit more.
Sure, and we're competing with, you know, with video games and the internet and indoor activities. And we need to bring more kids outside, I think, or have more outside activities.
I don't disagree. Whether it's the towpath or whether it's a sporting activity or even, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a sporting activity. It can be the culture. It can be art, but just getting them disconnected or unwired for a while. And I know we're doing something that we never could have done 15 years ago, a podcast. Okay, so when you look at that and as society marches forward, you sometimes, and I even tell my kids this, you know, let's set this down for a while because that art of conversation sometimes goes away. Because you everything is available in 140 characters, you know, and you could pop it out to 8 billion people all over the world. And there's a lot of good to that, don't get me wrong, that connectivity. But there's also that, you know, that human interaction that they need too, and that outside. And I just think it makes for a richer person, that put it that way.
Yeah, and you know, social media has really come about over the past couple years. You know, I wasn't really around when social media wasn't around, but
I was.
Me too. I mean, this is new. I mean, not that it's bad. It's good. It really is good.
So what I want to ask is like, how do you think that social media has changed how we, or in Akron specifically, how people have come out to more things, or it's been easier to promote things, obviously, but, you know, like, what kind of changes do you think it's made to the Akron area?
Well, I can tell you, I think more so than just the Akron area, I think as a global society or even our country, when you look at how people receive information. I mean, there is a generation of people that will never read a newspaper. I mean, I still like getting my hands on fine print once in a while, but you get your information in a different way. If we don't, as older, and I say I'm older, I'm only 52, but if we don't recognize that fact that, you know, whether it's people that come out to vote or whether we're promoting a particular area or an event or anything, if we don't reach out and recognize that, you know, younger people, especially millennials, and how they get and digest information and make it easier for them, it's at our own peril because they'll go somewhere and they'll take their economic talents and go somewhere that is recognized. And I think that's one of the keys to the city is getting millennials to buy into that whole process that government is here to help. I know that's the old joke, is I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Well, we are, but we also they don't need to just be engaged. It's not necessarily my table that I want them to sit. I'll sit at theirs. You know, it's a two-way street. If you have your own table, just invite me, and that exchange of ideas. And I don't know if that tradition has been created so much. And I need to, and that it does need to be created because they do receive information different way. They have different thoughts on how they want it. It's not bad. It's just different. So you have to recognize that, and that has to be incorporated into, you know, how we move the city forward.
And you've probably seen the research out recently saying that millennials aren't as engaged in local elections.
Sure.
And so it's very crucial that we keep them engaged, because they, I think the thinking is from millennials, which I am not a millennial, by the way, I'm a Gen Xer, but from the millennials, it's my vote doesn't count, it doesn't matter, but it really matters.
It does.
I mean, look at the primaries. Some of these, yeah. You know, it was, there are some close races that can be determined by 10 people, by even less, so.
And it's odd, too. My first race, I ran against somebody who had beaten the previous person by 3 votes.
Wow.
And now my successor lost by 6 votes. So, and I know of a levy out in one of the surrounding communities that lost by 1 vote.
Yeah.
So it's not like they don't matter. And on a local level, your vote matters more than anywhere else. And I know people want to go out and vote presidential and they say, well, I voted for so-and-so. And it is important. I don't discount any election. But on the local level, you know, school board candidates, levies, mayors, city council, county executive, all of those elected, they're very important to the direction of which way your government's going to go. And the percentage that turned out last time was not good. It wasn't the lowest. I mean, there are some lower, but it's nothing to brag about. But it's not because of lack of effort either. And part of this is, and I was talking a little bit earlier that, you know, what's selling in politics now? It's those, you know, quick sound bites and those demeaning of people and wherever, and who makes national headlines. Well, much of what it takes to run a city and the issues that are out there, sewers aren't sexy. I mean, right. They don't sell. I mean, you know, but we have a massive project that is going on that's going to affect everybody's life at some particular point through their pocketbook, or where they're going to be able to live, or economic development. That takes, you have to get your hands in the, down in there and deep, and you know, candidates need to be serious about these things too, because there are a lot of details sometimes that just go right by the wayside. You could see a small ordinance passed, and then it has, you know, a ripple effect on a lot of other things, and they don't sell well, because you can't boil it down into a 60 or 30 second sound spot. It takes some real engagement and involvement. How we get that message to millennials and everybody else, believe me, that's a challenge, and it's not from lack of effort, I can tell you.
Sure, absolutely. And I think as a city we're doing a better job, but I think we still have a little ways to go.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
I agree.
And there are, you know, a number of really talented millennial aged people who really need fostered and shown that they're appreciated, because they're doing a lot of work and they're busy and they're out there in the neighborhoods, they're rebuilding some neighborhoods, they're organizing people. They're helping us eat healthier. You know, there's a group now helping to do zero waste events, where there's 4 trash bags at an event with thousands of people, you know, and it's, we've come a long way, and I think we have a little ways to go. But we're just about running out of time, because we understand you have an event to get to this evening. So,
but I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, sure. Thank you. And we want to give you one last chance to maybe talk about whatever, something we may not have discussed or something that might have been on your mind. And you know, maybe you could give this opportunity to stump a little bit. You know, we did dig into who Dan was as the person. And
yeah.
We really appreciate you sharing that with us today.
Well, so. No, from the very beginning, even from my public service career, when I first started to run, I ran for city council, I said to myself, well, you know, I'm from here. I think I can do a better job than that person. And it is about, you know, and I mentioned that joke earlier about, you know, we're from the government, we're here to help.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good people that they try to do good things every day. But showing that they do care, and that, you know, there are people out there who are trying to help, it's just sometimes become so scattershot, because you get walled off in these silos. You know, whether you're in an office downtown or whether you're doing something, connecting all of those dots and all of the issues that affect, you know, sometimes there are some disaffected areas of the city that need more help than everybody else. And making sure that they get that and making those connections, you know, that's the goal of all this, because a rising tide lifts all ships, and not just economically, but it's also one of those things from a mental standpoint. People need to feel good. People feel good about this city, but you want to spread that. And that's, you know, that's going to be the highlight of my administration, is that you have to have people out there in the community that show that they care, whether it's, and how we deliver that service, whether we're picking up your trash, whether we're answering the phone, it's, you know, how may I help you, not what do you want. And that's an example out there, but that there's just so many walls when it comes to that. Well, we need to break some of those down. The millennials are demanding that, and we have to give that to them, because, you know, we want them to stay, and there has to be economic opportunity to be able to do that. So that's the core mission of wanting to do all this. Like I said, it's a great city, and I plan on spending the rest of my life here, God willing.
Thank you very much.
That's great.
And we're gonna let Dan take off so he can get to his event, and we'll be right back with the with events in just a moment.
Chuck. Hello, everyone. This is Ryan. It's kind of weird. We went straight from them back to us.
I didn't know we were on yet.
Hello, everyone.
No, sorry, sorry. I finished this.
Okay.
No, that was Dan. That was a great interview, guys.
It was. It was awesome.
I was in here in the room the entire time. I was listening. I thought it was really great. You guys got some really interesting questions out of Mr. Horrigan. I'm glad that he was able to come on and talk with us. I'm excited we got the other two candidates that are coming on, but I mean, a lot of what he said stuck with me. A lot, you know, I love when we have interviewees like
yes.
that. When, like, they say something and it really sticks with me. And
what really stuck with you?
What really stuck with me was when he was talking about the thing that really made me laugh was sewers aren't sexy.
Yeah.
And that is true. Nobody likes to do the dirty work or do stuff like that. But what I really liked about what Horrigan was talking about, and we're trying to stay as biased as possible because, you know, we have the other
unbiased.
Oh, yes. My gosh. I'm sorry. I'm so glad I have you guys here. But I liked what he was talking about. I liked his thought process about helping different neighborhoods and using the Highland Square proven method when it was talking. I thought it was really cool, but we have some upcoming events that are
before we get to those, I want to mention one other thing. Well, two other things. First, I told Mr. Horrigan that I was gonna put his information out there, how you can find him. So first, we have his Twitter handle, which is Horrigan4Mayor, the number 4. And then you just search Horrigan for Mayor on Facebook to find the Facebook page. And then it's Horrigan4Mayor.com is the website where you can find all his information, like his background and all that kind of stuff. And the other thing that Mr. Horrigan said that I really resonates with me, and I try and push this with all people my age, is you have to get out and vote. I mean, it is like, it is essential nowadays.
I think it's more important in local elections than it is in national elections.
I think so,
it
too.
It affects us more day to day. Who is running your city? Who's working on your street? Who's taking care of your kids every day? It's at a public school, so it's crucial.
Yeah, and I don't want to harp on that right now, but that is just something to think about. Like, today is the last day to register to vote. So if you didn't vote yet, that has to be by midnight, I think, or is it done already? I don't know if you can. I think it just has to be post-dated by 10 o'clock. It has to be 9 o'clock. Yoli says 9.
Hopefully, this is out before 9.
Yeah,
it should be out before 9. Sign up. Register. Terry Knox.
Well, for the November election. You can still register for the other elections after that, but for November. All right, Ryan, let's get into these events.
All right, so... Oh, I'm back. I'm so loud, guys. All right, so we got some upcoming events coming up. So Wednesday night at Musica is the Musica movie night, and they are doing The Wizard of Oz. It is a free movie night. Join Urban Eats, and there will be a Wizard of Oz themed costume contest. And I know Liz wrote this because it's cute, so I'm going to read it real quick. She says, put on your blue ankle socks and ruby slippers. Stuff a little straw in your cap. Costume favorites win prizes. You know, that's Liz. That's totally Liz that just wrote that. But that's this Wednesday. And then on Thursday is the Akron Music Scene. One second while the page loads. And the Akron Music Scene is this really cool local music event that goes on. And it is every first Wednesday of the month at Annabelle's Bar and Lounge. And every third Saturday at the Rialto Theater, unless otherwise noted. So that's what it says on their Facebook page. And that is this Wednesday at 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Wow, that goes late. Wow. I'm like waking up. You're like waking up for work at 2 a.m., Cody.
Yeah, that's not fun.
21 and over free, 18 plus $5. And they said there's like food trucks there and stuff. They actually have the bands that are playing. Go ahead and check that out on their Facebook page and also the event Akron Music Scene. Wait a minute. I'm wrong. It says it's moved to Thursday, October 8th. See, look at it. This is why it says otherwise noted.
Pay attention.
Okay, wow. It does say Thursday at October 8th. So even though it does say the first Wednesday, this month it is not. It is this Thursday at 8 p.m. So I'm glad I caught that.
Yeah.
All right. And then also this Friday, which I'm really excited about. We bought our tickets already because they came and played Spoils of Akron Live for us. Time Cat is having their Boozled release party at the Rialto Theater at Friday at 8:30 p.m. If you haven't got your tickets, it says tickets are available for $10 advance or at the door. Add an extra $3 if you're under 21. So, you know, if you're under 21, that sucks. But we'll be there. We're bringing our friend Gabby. Yoli, are you going to be there? Yoli said she's going to try. Chris?
I'm going to try.
He's going to try also. See, when we sat down and talked with Jerry, I was like, oh my gosh, I fell in love with her. I fell in love with her music. And so as soon as we were able to, I went and I bought tickets. And we're going to be there. But also going on this Friday night is this really cool event that's It's happening at the Nightlight Theater. So Chris, do you remember that movie that we always bring up with, remember when we brought up with Ben, on the third episode of the podcast, and it's called The Dead Next Door? And it's this little zombie movie that was filmed right here in Akron, and it takes place in Akron, and then they go to Washington, D.C., but it's still basically filmed here in Akron. But it is showing this Friday. It's playing this Saturday at the Nightlight Theater at 8:30 p.m. You have the tickets. You have to get your tickets before then. I guess that makes sense.
They must have been listening to our podcast and they brought the movie back.
But I'm excited. I'm not able to go this weekend, but I have plans on Saturday night. But I really wish I could. And here's the cool thing: if he's listening, my good friend John Murphy from Dynamics Theater was in that movie, and he's the one who sent it to me because he knows we've talked about it before. So yep, that's happening this Saturday at the Nightlight, but also happening this Saturday, another amazing event that I'm missing that I can't believe. The Music of John Williams is playing at E.J. Thomas Hall October 10th. I mean, come on, Chris, John Williams.
Yeah, awesome.
You got everything there. I mean, I can't wait.
It's my whole childhood right there, all those movies.
Star Wars, Harry Potter, Jaws, Superman, just everything. And that is this Saturday at 8 p.m. Oh my gosh, there's a costume contest before?
Yes, 7 o'clock.
Oh gosh, see, I should have entered my amputee Luke Skywalker. Okay, so then October 11th on Sunday, and Cinemark Tinseltown, USA, that's down in North Canton, pretty close to Akron. Monty Python, it will be, and the Holy Grail will be playing on that theater. Someone sent me that event too. I love that movie. What are you laughing at?
I'm just thinking about it. That's just a funny movie.
I love that movie too. Chris is just giving us looks. You ever seen that movie, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I have.
I love that movie. All right, and then, I almost hit the off button. Next Tuesday, this is the event Chris wanted me to get to. He was like, enough with all your bullcrap events. Get to the real one. But anyways, next Tuesday, October 13th, is another Full Circle Storytelling, an open mic for community storytellers. And this this particular one, the event is Doubt.
Doubt.
Or the theme, I should say, is Doubt. And that is Tuesday, October 13th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And it is at the Firestone Park Branch Library.
We had a really good event for Peace Week on Friday.
How was it? It
went really well. Yeah, we had some really raw stories.
Didn't you tell a story?
I did. The story of my dog going away for a week. And yeah. And just, it was a good night. It was a totally different crowd than has been at the other open or the other storytelling events. So it's, yeah, I would definitely encourage people to come out. It's a unique experience. As a person in the community, you become a performer for the night. You don't even have to prepare anything but a personal story.
That's pretty cool.
Who better to tell it than us, right?
Okay, cool. Chris, Yoli just handed Cody a phone. I want to know what's going on. What does she have?
Well, no, you talked so long that it kept turning on and off, and I had to keep getting the passcode put in. But what's on this phone is a cool thing that Akron Public Schools is encouraging. They're encouraging their 20,000 students to follow in the footsteps of their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents and use October 7th, which is the International Walk and Bike to School Day, as the time to get started. So what it is it's an initiative. It's a national program called Safe Routes to School, and they're trying to get these kids to start by using a bike or walking to school to enable this new it's a district-wide implementation is what it said. It coincides with the official the October 7th is the date that coincides with the official Akron Public Schools kickoff. So this is something they're trying to get all the kids to do. It's healthier and all that kind of stuff to get around, get outside and do all
that
kind of
stuff. When's the last
time
you saw a kid ride a bike?
I don't actually know.
When's the last time you rode a bike?
Dude, we're not getting into that right now. Chris, I have no idea.
Chris?
It's been a few years. I do have a couple bikes, though. So. Yeah.
I had one in my last apartment, and when we moved into our house, I left it.
You left it there?
I left it downstairs in the
You must be rich, just leaving bikes
behind. Well, like, I didn't want it anymore. It was, like, flat tires, and I was like, I've never even rode this thing.
Okay.
And I just left it in the laundry room. We were 2 minutes away, and I was like, my bike! I'm good. And I was like, oh, I'll just leave it. Someone else can have it.
Interesting.
So anyways. Okay, so October 15th, happening for the first time, it's Summit Live 365, The Launch. And that is Thursday, October 15th at 5:30 p.m. And what it is, I mean, I got sent this, and I was reading about it, and it's a really cool event that's going on. It's a new nonprofit that has emerged out of the Arts and Culture Assessment for Summit County, and they would like to invite you to attend their launch. And it's a new portal for artists, venues, performers, organizations, and creators of all kinds who compromise Summit County's rich arts and culture scene. So it's free to get in, right?
It is free, yes.
Okay, yeah, so it's free to get in, and that's October 15th, that's a Thursday, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. That just sounds like a cool, like, you just go meet other artists and people that you know, like, artists you didn't even know that, like, oh, you do this, you do that? Like, I think that would be cool. And then the last one that I want to talk about, and the only reason why I'm getting this out there now, is because we're my improv group is having a wine and improv night at Akron A Camp October 23rd at 7 p.m. to 10. And I'm just excited for that one because it's wine. And who doesn't like wine? And who doesn't like comedy? Cody, do you like wine?
I like wine. You don't. I like wine.
Well, I like the comedy part.
Oh, okay.
Yoli, wine or comedy? Which one?
Why not both? Wine. It's like that.
Yoli says wine. She's a wine
really?
Girl. Chris, are you a wine girl?
Definitely.
Chris is a wine girl as well. Well, that's all the events I got lined up, guys. If you guys got any more, go ahead and shout them out. I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to be right over here. Oh, wait, no. I'm just joking.
Do you have anything, Chris?
No. I think that about covers it.
The only other thing...
I think our events took up as long as the actual podcast.
Yeah, I think so. The only other thing I had was a friend of the show, Pete Nish. I plugged this last week. He, the Akron School Board Candidates Forum is tomorrow at 6, and it's at the American Red Cross of Summit Portage in Medina County. So you can go out and see that. I think that's all we have. So we work in partnership, as always, with the Akron Public Library and Musica and Urban Eats and the Akronist with
Akronist!
Our own Chris Miller. So really... excited about that still after all this time. Guys, we're in our 29th podcast. We're almost to 30.
Is that freaking crazy?
Do you believe that?
Oh, we're almost 30.
We've been doing more podcasts than you guys have been alive years.
We have.
Yes.
Like a lot more.
A
like
lot
eight
more. Jeez. Jeez.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks, Dan Horgan, for coming on the podcast. Listen next week for Eddie Siplin and the week after for Bill Melver. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, keep it
an Akron day.